Okay, this is week 7, class 3, Biblical Prosperity. So now Jesus is teaching here in Luke chapter 18. He's given a parable. Then after he gives this parable, there's a ruler that asks him these questions. And he says, well, you know, how do I get eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the law, etc. and so forth. The man says, well, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, but you lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Well, he heard this. He was very sorrowful because he was very rich. In other words, he wouldn't do it. Now, let's pick the story up. If you jump over to verse 35, it says, it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside. And what was he doing?
Begging.
Why was he begging?
He
didn't have anything, did he? Man's blind, didn't have a job, and so he's begging. Now, you know, you don't beg if you already have what it is you're begging for, all right? So maybe we could call this guy poor, right? Well, he heard the multitude pass by. He says, what's going on? They said, well, Jesus is passing by. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they rebuked him. You'd have thought they'd have got a clue with the kid thing, all right, but they didn't. They rebuked him and said, hush up. Well, he kept yelling, Son of David, have mercy. Jesus stood. I mean, he looks like he just stops. And he says, bring him to me. And he says, what do you want? I get such a kick out of this. It's like the guy's blind and he's a beggar, Jesus. And you're asking him, what do you want me to do for you? He says, what do you want? Well, the man said, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, receive thy sight. Your faith has saved you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now remember verse 35, here he's coming to Jericho. Verse 1 of chapter 19, he entered into and passed through Jericho. Here's the scenario. He's coming to Jericho, blind man, begging. Blind man says, help. Jesus says, receive. Blind man says, wow, praise God. Everybody else says, wow, praise God. And the blind man joins the crowd with Jesus, entering in to Jericho. All right? He passes through Jericho. As he's passing through Jericho, verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, you know, so many people, because he was little of stature. He ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus. I've always wondered how he knew the guy's name. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. Wow. This just blesses me every time. I mean, out of all these people, the one that everybody hated the most, Jesus says, I'm going home with you. Well, verse 6, he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Almost sounds like that Pharisee in the parable, doesn't it? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods, what's he going to do with it? I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man came to do these things. Why? Because that is the will and the work of the Father. Now, think back to the parable. He says in the parable, you got a Pharisee and you got a publican. And they're both in the temple. They're both in the presence of God. And the Pharisee stands up and he says, hey, look how good I am. I'm not like this trash over here. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a good one. And the publican says, God, please be merciful unto me. I am a sinner, and I don't deserve it, but please, please be merciful unto me. And what happens within the next short span of time. Here comes a Pharisee, and he says, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "I'll tell you what you need to do. You lack one thing in your life. You lack the compassion for the lost that the Son of Man has come to seek and save. Sell all that you have and give unto them, and you're going to have blessings in this life and treasures in eternal life when you get to heaven, because those that you've used the power of money to reach out and save are going to be standing there waiting to greet you when you walk through those gates." But the man wouldn't do it because he had a heart that was hardened to the needs of people. But then the next thing you encounter is a publican, and the publican says, "Oh, Jesus, I just want to see you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house." And after he gets into the presence of the Lord, he stands up and he says, "Lord, behold, I'm going to take half of everything I have and I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I've ripped anybody off, I'm going to restore fourfold." And Jesus stands up and he says, "This is the kind of person that God is seeking after." That parable, I can't preach this as gospel truth, but I won't be surprised if when we get to heaven we don't find out that that parable really was a parable to the people around him. But it was a vision of what was to come that God had given to Jesus. The Pharisee who did exactly what happened in that parable, and the publican who did exactly what happened in that parable. And the difference was this. The Pharisee had it all and had the religion, but his heart wasn't there. The publican, he took what he had and he used the power of money to reach out and minister to the poor. And isn't it interesting that Jesus just happened to have a poor, formerly blind man right there with him? So you better believe that this blind fella, he got some of those blessings that Zacchaeus was passing out. When it comes to what we do with our money, what's he say right here? "This day is salvation in this house. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, and this man's helping me do it." When we begin to do what the Lord wants us to do, remember, will of God, kingdom of God minded, like Zacchaeus right here, we begin to see the blessings and the inheritance start to manifest in our lives in ever-increasing measure. Look over in chapter, you're in chapter 19, look at verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." In other words, I'm not done. Let me tell you guys something. "Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' Well, it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Do these words sound familiar? Have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, 'Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said the same thing to him, Because you've been faithful, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, 'Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow.' And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury or interest? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, and slay them before me." Now let's take a look at this. In verses 12 through 13, the nobleman gave his servants money and a job. He said, look, you're my servants. All right, you already work for me. But here's what I'm going to have you do. I'm going to give you each a pound. And I want you to take this pound and go out and do something with it. And they said, okay, boss, we'll go do it. Well, in verses 15 through 19, the nobleman required a report. He says, all right, now everybody come back and tell me what you did. The first one, verse 16, he said, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. Now notice this. He says, your pound, not my pound. Because the servant recognized it's the boss's money, it's not mine, and it's to be used for his purposes, not my purposes. And he says, it's gained 10 pounds. He doesn't say it's gained 10 pounds less expenses. You say, well, why is that important? Because he was already his servant, and as his servant, his boss was already going to provide a place for him to live. Remember, the rich man and the steward, all right? The boss was already providing everything that he needed. The food that he would eat, the shelter where he would live, all of this was already given to him because he was his servant, and he lived in the household. And so he didn't come and he said, look, here's your money, but I deducted for expenses. That wasn't necessary. The expenses were already covered. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Same thing applies right here, or fits right into the structure of this entire story. They were faithful in the little, and they were promoted within the nobleman's kingdom. They were increased, if you will, in the kingdom. Well, in verse 20 through 26, you've got this wicked servant. Now look at what happened. He comes in and he says, here's your money. I wrapped it up in a napkin because, you know, you're not really the nicest guy to work for. And let's face it, you don't do any work. I mean, you take what you have and even so. In other words, I would do all the work and all the increase. You just come and you take it for yourself. Well, this wicked servant had completely lost perspective. Number one, he was living in the household of the nobleman. He lived there, all right? He had a roof over his head. Provision was made for him. Whatever he needed, it was supplied to him. And the boss had come along and he put the money in his hand and he said, look, I'm taking money that is mine. I'm giving it to you. You already live here. Provision is already given to you. Take this, go out, and use it for my purpose or to increase my holding or to increase that which I have. This guy gets all messed up. He forgets he's supposed to be about his master's purpose. He didn't want to do any work. Now get this. Unless he gained personally. If it's not going to benefit me, why should I do it? You stand up and you tell people. Now listen, there's a message in this. You stand up and you really let people know they're not going to be cursed if they don't put their tenth in the plate. Think anybody just might cut back on their giving? I mean, after all, if there's nothing for me to gain, why should I do it? In other words, you're not will of God, kingdom of God. You don't care. You're just like the Pharisee. Why should I do this? Why should I sell all I have and give to the poor, Jesus? There's nothing in it for me. I mean, I'm already doing okay without you. I'm already doing okay in my own little kingdom. So why should I, you know, I don't see the need here, Jesus. By the same token, for us, strip away all of the junk that's been taught concerning prosperity and make it explicitly clear to the body of Christ. We're sorry, we've been wrong, but you're not going to be rolling in the dough just because you've been sowing and sowing and sowing. It's not going to work that way. Wonder how many people would stop giving? Masses of them. Because it's happened in church after church after church when the truth has finally been taught. It's happened over. You know why that is? That's because it just proves where people are walking. If you start cutting back big on your get, you start reducing on what you're giving, when you find out you're not going to be cursed, when you find out it's not going to produce the Rolex and the Cadillac, you've just demonstrated to God and everybody else where your heart is. It's not in His kingdom and it's not in His will. It's all about you. And so Jesus is dealing with this thing here, this nobleman. He's got this servant that's doing that. And he accused his master of being unfair. He says, you reap where you didn't sow. Can you imagine how angry the master must have been right about that time? He says, what do you mean I reap where I don't sow? Buddy, I hired you. I hired you to sow. I hired you to go out and I pay you wages. You live under my roof. I supply whatever it is that you need. Of course I don't go out and sow. You're the one that's supposed to do that. Have you forgotten your job? Well, obviously he had. And he says, I mean, it's almost like he's trying to become the boss and he's forgotten everything he's supposed to be doing. And he says, hey, you take up what you didn't lay down, you reap where you didn't sow, and blah, blah, blah. And the boss says, look, you could have at least put the money in the bank, verse 23, so I could have gotten some interest. I mean, you didn't do anything. You did absolutely nothing but serve yourself. And then he says, take from this guy the pound and give it to the person that hath 10 pounds. And verse 26 confused me for a long time. He says, to everyone that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. I didn't understand that. I mean, honestly, to me it didn't sound like God was being very fair. Well, there are some words that are kind of left out. Concepts in this verse. Think of it this way. I say unto you that to everyone which hath served the purposes of their nobleman shall more be given. And from those that have not served the purpose of their nobleman, the pound shall be... Notice he didn't say the guy was fired. Notice he didn't say he was kicked out on the street. Notice he didn't say no longer do you have a place to live. Notice he didn't say no longer do you have food or clothes. He said take the pound from him. The servant already had the place to live, the clothes, the food, and all the rest. He already had all of that. The pound was increase in his life because the nobleman took it and put it in his hands. And he says, now, I put it in your hands. I've released it over to you. I'm going over here. I'm going to be gone for a while. But I want you to take the increase that I've placed in your life and I want you to use it for my purpose. And the whole time that you're using it for my purpose, whether the guy was gone for a year or 10 years or whatever, the whole time that you're using it for my purpose, you're still going to have food. You're still going to have shelter. You're still going to have clothes. All the provision is going to be there for you. I just want you to increase my pound. Well, we have examples of three of the servants that came back. Two did what he wanted, and one did nothing with it. So, the nobleman takes the increase, not his food, not his shelter, not his house. Didn't fire him. He takes the increase, and he gives it over here to the person who has the 10. Now, why did he do that? Because every one of those servants were living under the exact same conditions. We're all servants of the nobleman. We all live under the shelter. We all have the clothes. We all have the food. In other words, we all are living equally with provision. But this one over here has proven he can take the same amount of increase that was given to all 10 of the servants. He has the ability or the wherewithal, the knowledge, the insight, whatever, but somehow he's figured out how to gain more for his master than any of the rest. Now, if you're the master, who are you going to give the increase to? The one that got the 10? Nowhere in here does the master say that the 10, you get to keep it. That's been the concept in this. You see what I'm saying? We've had this idea that these guys got to keep all of this. No, the nobleman said, everybody come back together and give an account. Remember, the rich man and the steward? Give an account of what you've done with my pound that I gave you. And they came to him and they said, your pound, not ours, your pound hath gained you 10, or hath gained you 5, or was stuck in a sock drawer. Your pound. They all recognized it was his. And the whole time, they all had the same amount of provision. This passage right here is one of the major keys to understanding how to increase in your life. The difference between pound and provision. And this is where people get messed up in the body of Christ. We think everything that is put in our hands belongs to us for us to use any way we see fit. And if we decide to give some to God, He's the better for it. And if we decide to give a little extra, when there's a real push in the offering to feed starving children in India, well, we'll give a little extra. But, you know, after all, we got to watch because we're working toward that big TV. If we can get, as the body of Christ, this whole concept of pound and provision clear in our thinking, we're going to start walking in greater and greater abundance. But we might not get to keep it. Oh, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. If there's nothing in it for me. In other words, wicked servant. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody in here, but the prosperity doctrine that's been hammered into us for so many years is teaching us to be a wicked servant. It's teaching us to use all increase for self and nothing or anybody else. We do not have the will of the Father and a kingdom mentality at work on the inside of us. Now, let's take a look at this. The concept of pound and provision. And I'm telling you, please, boy, if I could ever stress anything in this, don't take this lightly in light of what we've just seen in this passage. Go back and read this. Pray in tongues. Meditate on this short little few verses about this whole concept of the pound. What I'm getting to share with you is a kingdom principle that I can stand before you tonight and I can guarantee you it will work, and it makes no difference how much money you personally have in the bank right this moment. It does make a difference. Don't misunderstand this. It doesn't matter if you tithe or don't tithe. I'm not saying don't tithe. What I'm saying is the concept of pound and provision isn't based on tithe or be cursed. Okay? So just go back and listen to the tapes. You know where I'm coming from on this. If you grasp this and understand about stewarding the pound, it's going to change your life. I guarantee you it will change your life. But what I've shared with you to this point and what I'm getting ready to share with you tonight is something that is hardly ever taught in the body of Christ, and this is why people aren't seeing increase. Now, let's just stop for a moment and let's just get this in our heads right now. Forget about us. All right? You say, I've been looking forward to a new car. Forget about your new car. Yeah, but the one I'm driving is 15 years old, and just forget about that for right now. Forget about the clothes that you've been looking for. Forget about your Christmas shopping. Forget about your vacation. Let's, for tonight, for the sake of this teaching, forget about everything that's related to you. And for the next few moments, let's try so hard to be totally, completely will of God and kingdom minded, to where our only concern is, how can I get more money to reach the lost and to minister to the hurting in the body of Christ? Outside the body of Christ and inside, how can I get more money? Forget about me. I don't care if I have to wear patched up clothes. All right. Now, I'm not saying we do that. That's what God wants us to do. I'm just saying tonight, let's get a different line of thought here to begin to see this in a whole different perspective. We already know that the Father knows our needs. Over there in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about the fact that the Father knows what things you have need of. All these things will be added unto you. You're more valuable than the birds and all this other. And the Father has no problem providing us with more money and nicer things. He already said you have an inheritance richly and freely. He gives and provides all things for you to enjoy. All right. So obviously, there is something involved here as far as us personally are concerned. But right now, we're not personally minded. We're God-minded and will the Father-minded. But we've got to prove ourselves to be good servants with the pound. And remember in Luke 19 the difference between the good servant and the wicked servant. We have to prove ourselves to be good servants with the pound. Now, let's define the pound. The pound is increase over and above provision, which is exactly what we saw here in this outline. They already had their provision as being stewards of the rich man, the nobleman. The pound was above and beyond that. It doesn't mean that we live as beggars. This was a nobleman. This means this guy had a lot. This man, I mean, he said, look at what he says down here in this illustration. In verse 17, he gave him authority over 10 cities. You can't give somebody authority over something that you don't already have. Are you with me? The other guy ends up with 5 cities. So this nobleman, he's got a bunch, okay? So as far as the provision was concerned, he was already supplying all of their needs according to his riches in his bank accounts, okay? So the servants already had everything that... So we don't have to live as beggars, but we have to discern between what is for our use and what is for the Lord's use. And this is where people get messed up. We think everything's for our use. We think, well, if I give my 10%, the 90% is for me, and I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't matter what I do with it, because that's mine. No, not according to God. It isn't yours. Not if you have the, he is my rich man, he is my noble man, and I am his steward, I am his servant. If that is the mentality that you have, then the 90% is not yours. We don't like to hear that either, because we've been trained, and you know what we've been trained. Now, the pound, it can be amounts that are great or small. It can be a bonus at work. It can be an unexpected gift. It can be a wage increase. It can be your lottery winnings. I know you don't play the lottery. But let's just say this. You come walking into my church with a check for $15 million and say, hey, Brother Martin, I hit all the numbers last week. I will... Thank you. Praise God. Hey, listen, I ain't no dummy. Please don't interpret this as an endorsement to go play the lottery. It's amazing how... anyway. Now... The pound, like I said, now it's not just these four things, all right? I mean, it can be, it's increase above and beyond provision. Look at the pound as, and don't say, well, okay, when I have $1,000 come in, that's it. No, no, no. The increase could be $20, okay? Now, something to consider is a pound account. Now, you can call it whatever you want. And again, something to consider, this is not scripture, this is not law. We're trying to establish concepts and principles here, okay? Something to consider is a pound account. It could be a separate bank account. You could call it, this is pound account. Or it could be if you just want to keep the money at home. Whatever you want to do. Now, please, don't run out of here and go back to your church and say, well, you know, everybody, we got to, you know, start a pound account. They don't know what you're talking about. Again, this is a concept. It's just an idea. Start a pound account. Well, how do you start a pound account? First off, you determine what you need to live on. Your rent or your mortgage, food, utilities, clothing, entertainment. Now, some people get weird on this stuff and they make their family suffer. Oh no, it all belongs to Jesus. He'll slap you silly for that. You have responsibilities to your family. And if you go to movies, that can include a good, decent, clean movie that you and your wife go to, all right? Don't get goofy on this stuff. Other bills, credit cards, etc. Miscellaneous. I don't know what does miscellaneous mean to you. It means something different to you than it does to me. I don't know. In other words, you take into consideration, what is life costing me? Provision is not going into hock for a big screen TV. That is not provision. Okay? But you first determine what you need to live on. Once this amount is established, you know what your provision is supposed to be. And obviously, that's going to be different for every single person in this room. Anything over and beyond provision, this is the pound. But it doesn't sound fair. I know it doesn't sound fair. Because, again, here goes the broken record, we have been trained to think for self and not for God. We've been trained to think increase for self and not increase for the will and the kingdom of God. So anything above and beyond your provision is your pound. Well, Brother Martin, it sounds to me like, you know, I'm going to barely get by. Where do you see that in here? It's not in here. You have to misinterpret what I'm saying and what's written on this to come up with such an idea. If you previously figured in giving a tenth or your tithe, now remember we said, you know, just use that as a starting point, whatever. That would be included in your pound. So we're not saying, see, the tithe is not... belongs to the Lord and is to be used for His purposes. His purposes. Not what you think are His purposes. Well, I think it's the Lord's purpose for me to go out and buy myself a new gold watch. No, no, no. Let God provide a new gold watch to you through somebody else. And that can happen. It's for His purposes. The first area of your giving should be to the church where He has put you. If you're not giving to the church you attend, shame, shame, shame on you. You better find out why not. Oh, but Brother Martin, I don't feel comfortable giving in my church. Why don't you feel comfortable giving in your church? Well, because they teach this and they teach that and they... So you got, what, like a check in your spirit about supporting that? Oh yeah, Brother Martin. Why in the world are you still there? What's going on? You think maybe God's trying to tell you something? If you're not comfortable, I'm not saying if you just don't like the pastor, all right? I'm talking about if there's wrong doctrine. Anyhow, the first area should be the church where He's put you. Beyond that, ask Him where He wants you to put His money. His, all right? His money. His. This is where people mess up. Well, where should we give this extra $100 that we have? Well, I don't know. Since it's the Lord's money, our rich man's money, our nobleman's money, maybe we should ask Him where He'd like us to put it. Jesus, if you were here on earth and you had this in your hand, where would you put this money? This flies in the face of so much teaching that's out there. We're not taught to find out where God wants His money to go. Imagine that. He's our rich man. We're His stewards. It just stands to reason that we would go to Him and find out where He wants it. So the first place we should give is to our church. How do I know how much to give, Brother Martin? Tell me how much. I'm not your rich man. I'm not your noble man. I can't give you dollar amounts. That's why the relationship thing has to come into play. You've got to be in there with Him. I can't... See, the bad thing about this, if I start saying things like, well, you know, He might tell you to give a fifth instead of a tenth this week to your church. Well, some people, they're just going to take that, I got a word from the Lord. Came through Brother Martin at school the other night. He said I'm only supposed to give a fifth this week at the church. That's why you have to be very cautious when you're teaching things like this, because some people, they just take anything they hear and they run with it. I don't know what to tell you dollar amounts. This, you've got to get it from Him. And it's not beyond the realm of belief that He might want you to invest some of it. Now look in Luke chapter, you're there in 19. Look in verse 13. He called the 10 servants, gave them 10 pounds, and said, occupy till I come. Now that word occupy, that sounds like some kind of invading force, you know. I don't know why in the world the interpreters use the word occupy. Maybe the word occupy meant something different to the King James fellows. But in reality, this word in the Greek means to busy oneself through commerce and trading. Then if you look down in verse 15, he says at the end of it, given the money that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then if you look in verse 23, he says, why in the world did you not at least give it into the bank that I could at least get some interest on my money? Do you see this? In here it's a different kind of a concept that's presented to us. So you go to the Lord and you say, okay, now look, God, we're doing okay here on the provision, and I just need to know, what am I supposed to do here with this pound? You know, this week we've got $100 in the pound account, or, you know, end of the month we got $5,000 in the pound account. I mean, God, what do you want me to do with this? What if He were to say, I want you to give 1,000 of it to Grace Ministries Bible College? I want you to give 1,000 of it as a personal gift to your pastor. No envelope, no record, no tax deduction. Just give it to him as a gift. The remaining 3,000, I want you to invest it in pork bellies. I don't know. I don't do all that kind of... I don't know what's out there. Microsoft, okay? I don't know. It's not outside the realm of reason that He might tell you to do something like that. See, you've got to understand, God doesn't have a printing press in the sky. He works through the systems that exist. God can direct you to invest money in areas... Think of it this way. Do you think God would have been happy to find some good stewards about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that He could have spoken to and said, there's this company, trust me, Nobody's heard of it. But you need to do something with this. I want you to take that $2,000 that you've got in your pound account, and I want you to buy this penny stock called Microsoft. And I want you to hold that for 25 years and then come back to me and I'll have further instructions. Do you think maybe that might have been a good idea? Oh, but God doesn't work that way. That's where we miss it. You've got scripture to verify that God could work that way in your life. He can do things like this. But we haven't been taught to think along these lines. We've been taught just put money in the plate and it's a guaranteed investment. You're going to get money back. And we've been putting money in that kind of investment for years and we still don't have the return. God could turn right around and tell you how to do things like this with... It's His money. If He wants it invested, who cares? I mean, if I have said this is your account, I'll do whatever you want with it. So what if He tells me to invest it in Microsoft or in Elder Beerman or DPNL or I don't... Who cares? You just do what He tells you to do. After all, we're just the stewards, right? We're just the stewards handling, managing what belongs to Him. Now... Foolishness, talk about foolishness in the pound. You do not spend it on yourself. This makes you a wicked servant. Vacations, personal things, those are just... That doesn't mean you can't ever have a vacation. Remember back up there, entertainment, miscellaneous? When you go to God and ask Him to help you establish your provision, part of that provision, don't be surprised if He says, I want you to set aside X amount for a vacation that you and the family can, you know, go to the beach for a week next summer. You don't think He loves you enough that He wouldn't... Yeah, somebody over here likes that. Say it again, Lord. Say it again.
Lord.
Do you see what I'm saying? About not getting goofy on this kind of stuff and not thinking that God wouldn't want you to do things like that. But you get direction from Him. See, this is a whole different kind of pressure. It's pressure to have a relationship with somebody who died for you. To get direction from Him. That's a different kind of pressure than we're really used to. If you are delinquent on bills, do not start a pound account. But I'm supposed to honor the Lord with my money. That's right, you are. You honor the Lord with your money by keeping the word you gave when you borrowed, when you charged, when you purchased. And you've got people out, oh gosh, does this get me on a soapbox now? You've got people out there in the body of Christ, Christians, and they've got this pious attitude, and some of them don't even know it's a bunch of pious prides. And they'll give to this ministry and give to that ministry, and they owe their utilities, and they owe, I mean, they're like 30, 60, 90, 120 days behind, the car's about to get repossessed, and they're looking for, they're giving their money away to preachers. Don't do that, because it makes you a liar. You've got a bunch of verses here that talk about stealing and about your honesty and about your integrity. When you borrowed money, whether it was for your car, your house, or anything, if you go now and start taking money to establish a pound account, you're stealing. You understand me? You are stealing from those people. Now the key word in here is delinquent. And you're hearing something tonight that I know goes in opposition to what a lot... They say, bless God, you're behind on your bills. You need to sow a big offering tonight. No, I don't. I need to give that money to my creditors and stand behind my word. I don't need to give it to you, Mr. Big Mouth Preacher. It's wrong to preach that. If I stand up and I tell you to take money that you're 90 days behind on paying somebody and give it to me, I'm telling you to steal from them. It's wrong. It's wrong to do that. And this is a concept that people in the body of Christ sometimes just don't seem to grasp this. And don't, for crying out loud, don't get yourself deeper into debt that you can't pay by charging your offerings on a credit card. It's just kind of stuff, it's like, it's not, I'm not better than anybody else, but I can sense a lot of displeasure from the Lord on the inside concerning these kind of things that are going on in the body of Christ and how many preachers are actually endorsing it.
Amen.
It's not right. Well, right along with that, if you're delinquent, You also have no business taking vacations or upgrading your lifestyle. Again, the key word is delinquent. Delinquent. 30, 60, 90, 100, 20, 100. If you are delinquent, you get your stuff caught up. And you, hey, let me throw this one out to you. It is illegal, if you are on welfare, and I don't know if you are or not, but if you're on welfare, it is illegal for you to give offerings. You can't do it. Well, I can too, bless God. No, excuse me. You went to the government and you asked for help. And the government is giving you our tax dollars to put food on the table and milk in your baby's bottle. And if you take that money and you put it in an offering, the government, if they find out, they can cut you off. And if you're a minister and you have somebody in your congregation and they're on welfare and you know they're giving offerings, you have to give it back and tell them to stop. If you don't, it's going to be your door they knock on too. It's against the law. You can't do that. You say, well, what's the logic behind it? Well, if you can afford to give money in offerings, then you don't need to be on welfare. Now, I know that may seem convoluted in the logic, but that's the way the government looks at it. In other words, you wouldn't be on welfare if you had money coming in, now would you? If you're delinquent, you've got no business doing this stuff, going beyond the vacations and all this other. And filing bankruptcy to reduce or eliminate your debt is stealing. Oh, Brother Martin, it protects me from losing everything I had. Well, let me just... You go to God and ask Him, Father, is it okay if I file bankruptcy to avoid having to pay what I promised to pay? In other words, there's a law on our books here in this country that says if I file bankruptcy, I can legally break a promise that I made to somebody. And just ask Him if it's okay for you to do that. Then go back and read these verses. If you file bankruptcy because you've been foolish with your money and you're just trying to eliminate the debt by filing, you're wrong. Oh, Brother Martin, I disagree. Again, you go talk to God about it and find out if anything in His Word substantiates that kind of action. If you're foolish with money, don't expect promotion from God. Remember the parable we just read here in chapter 19 of Luke. If you're foolish with the money, if you're going to be a wicked servant, don't expect promotion from God. Now, we're going to continue talking about this concept of the pound and provision and so forth next week. But I'm telling you, please meditate on this because this is absolutely one of the most powerful keys. If you get this down on the inside of you, I'm telling you now, you are on your way from where you've been to the inheritance, to the richly, and to the freely. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. And Father, I realize that some of the things that have been shared tonight just go completely against the grain of so much that is taught in the body of Christ. But we want to understand these things from Your perspective, not from what everybody else says. We want Your truth sunk deep in our hearts so that we can become those good servants and those wise stewards, Father, over everything that You've placed into our hands. Help us to understand better the concept of pound and provision and what that means to You and how to operate in that. Now, Father, as we leave this place, we ask for and by faith receive divine protection. And Jesus, we love You so dearly and give You all the glory. In Your precious name, Jesus, amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you later. Oh, hey, before you leave, already told Elijah to go anoint Elisha and us to take a break. See you in about 5 minutes.